Yeah, he's the Coyotes' chief hockey development officer and now the general manager of the Canadian Olympic hockey team, which is less than 3 weeks away from beginning in China. Shane Doan joins us here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Shane, good morning to you, and congratulations on the new title.
Oh, thanks, Vic. I appreciate it. Sorry, Vince. I appreciate it.
Quite all right. I want to start there. We'll get into the Coyotes and their recent good play, but I was thinking about this. When you get, the world gets notice that the NHL is not sending players to the Olympics on December 22nd, and then in January you get named the GM of the Canadian team and are charged with putting this team together. That's got to be a heck of a lot of work, seeing as how the parameters have changed. I mean, can you take us through that process a little bit and where you're at in it?
Yeah, we're close to naming our team. The parameters were so hard because we're looking at kids that are young, that are, you know, just drafted or draftable kids, all the way up to, you know, guys that are 35, 40 years old playing in all different leagues, from Russia to Canada to Sweden to Germany, Switzerland. So you're trying to compare people when they're in completely different leagues at completely different stages, and you're trying to decide, well, this guy will fit and that guy won't, and you know you got it wrong. Like, you know there's some people that you've missed, and yet at the same time you do your best and you put together a team that that you hope can, as Canadian, you have to bring home a gold if you overdo anything to do with hockey.
Well, yeah, without a doubt. So, I mean, the inherent pressure is something obviously to be considered. The actual piecing together the puzzle of a team, that's interesting. Tell me what appeals to you about that, and what is your philosophy on team building in a situation like this?
Well, it comes, I think my thing is you have to be unselfish in order to play on Team Canada. I don't care what your role's been in the past. You have to be able to accept the fact that your role may be drastically different in the future, because there's going to be a bunch of guys that did that exact role you had on the team. So there has to be an unselfishness. There has to be an ultra-competitiveness about the person. I think that you have to be willing to kind of do whatever it takes to win. And then you have to have the ability to play the game at a high level. Like, you have... As much as I love some of my friends and they're great guys and I would love them all to be on the team, if you can't compete at a high level, you can't play. So those three things, it sounds very vague, but when you start really going through people and going through people that are available, it starts to whittle itself down. And then obviously we have an incredible staff with Hockey Canada, and the coaching staff's incredible, and you let their input get involved too, and you make sure that you understand that they're the guys that are going to be putting them on the ice, and you have to give them a lot of freedom there. But at the end of the day, you have to make the choice. So it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. It's been incredible. I've relied on a bunch of guys, and they've been awesome.
Now, in the NHL, there's not enough talent around or available to pay for that. You've got to kind of improvise and add, like we talk about, sandpaper guys, grinder lines. That's not necessarily the case with the Canadian national hockey team. You can roll out four lines of just elite talent, and yet is that the way to win hockey games? Or do you need to have the guys that can go into corners? Do you need the guys that can just, you know, bring you the physical and move the puck along? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's vital. I think that I had the opportunity to play on a couple of Team Canadas in the Olympics and do some stuff like that. And I was fascinated at how when there isn't kind of the, it sounds funny, but like the big dog of the group, that everyone tends to kind of think that they are the big dog. And so there's this element that every single shift you go out there and you try to win, like you try to show that you're the best player in that shift, instead of just going out there and be the guy that brings the energy and lifts the whole group up.
Right.
Like, instead of just trying to get the puck deep, finish a check, create a turnover and get someone an opportunity, those guys tend to want to toe drag somebody at the blue line, go in, score the highlight reel goal. And it's like, yeah, that's great. And you all have that ability. But that only happens in the highlights. Like, the reason it's a highlight and it happens so infrequently is that it's a surprise when it happens. We have to do the little things. And I think there's a huge part of players that provide that take some of the pressure off of your big dog. So I think there's an element of a good combination of that. It's important.
Yep. Shane Doan, our guest, as he is weekly here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Coyotes win again last night. Dominant performance is the last two games against Montreal and New Jersey. 4-2-1 in their last seven. Are the Yotes turning the corner here, Doaner?
Well, you look at our goaltending, and it's been unbelievable. You look at our young blue line. Our blue line has been, you look at Moser. The Moser kid, it's just, he's taken a step that's, you draft a kid in the second round in the NHL, you think that player has a chance to be a good player for you in a few years, probably 3 years. You think he's going to be a contributor in your lineup. This is like 6 months later. Yeah. He's been a big contributor, and he's a guy that's opening a lot of eyes. And you look at a guy like Dyson Mayo on the back end, who's been in the minors, exact opposite scenario, where he's been with the team for 8 years in the minors of just
wow,
slaving away down there and staying in it and staying consistent. And now he's got a spot on the team and he's playing unbelievable. It's so fun to see those type of stories where you're just, you know what, we got a mismatch on the blue line of young guys that are coming in and playing well. And up front, I think Clayton Keller and Krauser are doing exactly what we want them to do. They're taking that next step. Phil Kessel is doing what he's doing, where he's creating opportunities for others. It's fun to watch right now.
I don't know if you saw that that press conference from Edmonton the other day, but have you ever had a media member ask you, Shane, why are you so pissy?
Yeah, that's happened.
there's a couple interviews where I got a little bit at the end of them, but that was, we got knocked out in the playoffs against L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Someone has sent me that video more than one time about me being a little bit like...
You were pissy that night.
There's no way around it. I was trying to find a nice way of saying it. I was trying to be respectful and polite, but at the same time...
But I thought that was something for a kid... for a kid as young as Dreisaitl to react that way to a media dude, especially a Canadian player like that, you know? I don't know.
A Hall of Fame media dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Matheson, he's one of those icons in Edmonton. So anyone that grew up in Edmonton knows who he is. So I think that's just the combination of all the pressure that's on those guys in Edmonton and what they're going through. Yeah. And I feel for them because that is not a fun place to – when everything's going great, you're literally the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
When it starts going sideways, you are the worst. And
yes,
it's so
you are.
Hard to get away from it.
Look, Doaner, we can admit it, though. Being pissy after a playoff exit that was as painful as yours was against L.A. is one thing. To be pissy in the middle of January, that's another thing altogether. You get a pass, man.
Okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Doaner, I understand. Again, congratulations on the GM role. Looking forward to watching the team that you put together, and we'll talk to you again next week.